Well, praise God. It's great to be in the house of God, the people of God. I wanted to bring you the most encouraging title I could find, so some of you people got it. I trust by the end we'll be encouraged by the bleached bones. But I really, God's been kind of brooding this in my spirit for a while, and obviously it comes, if you're familiar, out of Ezekiel 37 and the vision that God gave Ezekiel. And I'm going to start with Psalm 73. It says, "My flesh and my heart fail. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And Ezekiel 37, if you want to turn there in verse 1, it says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones." It was a valley of bones. "And he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many." There were very many bones in the valley, in the open valley. "And indeed, they were very dry." They were bleached dry. "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live?" And sometimes in life we come to situations, we come into circumstances in our lives, and it seems like nothing is alive. That we've come to a place, and it's like it's a place of death. It's a place of emptiness. And God can bring us into that place, and we can look in, and the question is asked to us, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And tonight, I hope I can help you and help us as we walk through some of these decisions, because there's times in our lives when we come, and there's a situation in our life, whatever it is, and it seems so desperate and so with lack of hope, so hopeless. And the question can come, can these bones live? Can this situation be resurrected? Can this time or this place we're at produce anything? And if you're like me, sometimes we get into that place and we get into a place of hopelessness saying, I don't know. I don't know if these bones can live. And looking in the natural, if you were carried into this vision, I think it would be quite absurd for most of us to say, yes, these bones can live. Now, we read the rest of the story, I trust, but and we know what happens. But if we really were shifted into that in this moment, this hour, and it's not just bodies laying there, but it's bones. And if you've ever walked on a beach or in a field or wherever, and you come across a skeletal remain of some animal, and you see that over time that carcass has been probably eaten away and the flesh is removed and the sun has bleached it. And there's really no life left except the remains of what has gone before. And I thought to myself as I read to this, I wonder what happened to these bones to cause them to come into this valley. To cause them to come to this most desperate place. To cause them to come to the end of hope. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Don't think it's strange. How many of you are still in the place where we think it's strange when a fiery ordeal comes? There's enough humanness in us, there's enough flesh in us to come, and all of a sudden this thing's coming at us, and we're like, how can this happen to me? A Christian. Where is God? If you're honest with yourself, we come into those situations, and our first response is often, where are you, God, in this place? This seems strange. This fiery ordeal. But can I encourage you that tonight I believe that God takes us through some of these processes to teach us and to process us into a place where he really can make us into the thing that he wants us to be. And that we were destined and created to be. You were not created to be a fleshly being that is totally moved by impulse and by your desire. But we were to be created children of God. That you have a Father who cares for you and has a destiny for you and a place for you. And the problem is that we don't understand the glory that lays before us. Just like Jesus, he said he went to the cross for the glory that laid before him. He endured the cross. And sometimes we forget about the glory and we look at the fiery ordeal and all we see is bleached, dry bones. And the question rings out, Son of Man, can these bones live? Can your situation change? Can your prognosis change? Can your place you're in change? Can these bones live? From our perspective, there is a sense of finality in death. In death, outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope. It is the end of our existence on this life. And I'm sure this vision, this valley, was probably a scene of a great battle, as we read to the end of the story, that there was probably something that had gone on before that was purposed to be a great victory. That we understand that as time went on, that this was a mighty army. And every army that I know of, and I've never been in an army, but usually you go in as an army with a sense to be victorious. I don't know many who go in thinking they're not going to come out of that battle. They understand that there's a possibility, but the possibility, the planning, the desire is to be victorious. To conquer. To overcome. In life, we can often make plans. We can make even good plans. And as a good army, I'm sure they made great plans. They made plans to come into that battle, to overcome the enemy, to overcome the situation. That there would have been captains and generals who had plotted out the strategies. And in life, we can come into life thinking and make our strategies and make our plans. And they can be great plans. But sometimes the plans don't work out like we think they should. Sometimes our plans don't work out. And we end up with a valley of dry bones. I'm sure those bones that are lying in that valley didn't intend to stay there. They went into that valley with a vision, with a hope, with a plan for victory. And somehow, either by the opposition or the situation, whatever it was, now they're faced with death, with a point of the end of hope. And there they lie, bleaching in the sun. Often we go into battle as armies in our youth. In the prime of our life, they put you into training and because they don't want old guys like me. We're too slow. They want the cream of the crop. And often in the things of God, we can, you know, when we're in that time of the prime of life, at the beginning of our life, we have so much passion and zeal, and it's good to have passion and zeal, but it's also good to temper it with wisdom. And so I want to encourage you as young people, I want to encourage you as old people, that sometimes the end of the battle isn't the end of the story. Sometimes the situation you're in is not the end of that story. But there's more to be said, and I want to encourage you tonight because I believe it really is just the beginning for us as the people of God. See, those bleached bones, they speak of having no flesh, no hope, no life in and of themselves. But we understand that that is just the beginning. When God comes into our life. That's the place where we need to be. Galatians 5:24 says, those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's a place in our life where we have to come to the understanding that this flesh does not help us. It says, lay off the sin which so easily entangles us. that there is an entangling in our flesh that holds us back from coming into the full purposes of what we're called to be. And if we can come to the place of coming to the end of our flesh, it's really the beginning of where God can step in. I need to eat water. Those of you that are with heathen descent might appreciate this illustration, but I remember a movie written many years back called The Princess Bride. Well, a few of you liked it, a few of you are heathens. And there's a scene in that story when the young Wesley has come to the end of life where all perception of who he is done. He's dead. By everyone around him, he's considered to be dead, and he's brought into this little place, and a character played by Billy Crystal called Miracle Max assesses his situation, and he brings in these big things, and it's quite ridiculous, but he says, no, because there's a difference between all dead and mostly dead. And Wesley is only mostly dead. And I don't know if you're allowed to use those illustrations, but I think it's very important for us because sometimes as Christians, we think we're okay if we're just mostly dead. That we have, you know, most of God in us, but still a little bit of our flesh. And I want to encourage you tonight because I believe that God wants to bring us to the end of ourselves. That we're all dead. And then in Him, we find life. In Him, we are made whole. John 6 and 33 says, it is the Spirit who God gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are in spirit, and they are life. The beginning of life is the beginning when the Spirit of God can come into us. When our flesh is done away with. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, You He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We were children of flesh, and we were dead. Yet we thought we were alive. How many of you thought you were in the prime of life when you were walking in disobedience? And it wasn't until you come to the revelation that Jesus Christ is my only source of true life and hope and joy. And I come to the end of myself. I bury myself in those waters of baptism. And all of a sudden I realize there was so much more to life than what I perceived before. According to the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we were once, all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, how many are glad for but God? But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, did not leave us in that place. And even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace. Unless we understood we were dead, we would never understand what it was to be alive. The exceeding greatness, the exceeding riches of His grace. Romans 6 and verse 5 says, if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Are you dead tonight? Are you dead to sin, or are you just mostly dead? Because until we die, we aren't free from the bondage of sin. But if we come to a place of death, and I'm talking bleached bones death, then we experience that resurrection life. We're not mostly dead. We're all dead. We're dead, dead. But then we come to true life. For if we've been united in the together in the likeness of death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. One death for all. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died, he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also. Likewise, you also. The life that you now live, you live unto God, which is what we were created to be in the first place. We were created to be children of God. It was our own rebellion and our own turning, our own flesh, that turned us away from the loving Father and the loving God. You likewise reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Sin does not have dominion over you. You come to the end of yourself and sin no longer has power. That you can rise out of those ashes because of the blood of Jesus Christ and you are completely free. That bondage that you've been told you've had to, that you've been told it's been bound on you your whole life, tonight it is no longer bound in your life. You are no longer bound to that sin. You are no longer just a dirty, rotten sinner, but you are a child of God saved by grace. That the power of sin does not have dominion over you. In other words, it does not have power over you. John 6 and 63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are a spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who would not believe." There are some who will not believe, who will not allow their own pride or whatever it is to allow themselves to come to that place of surrender and death. To say, "I need you, Lord." And God comes to Ezekiel, responds to the question, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live?" And his answer is a wise answer. He says, "Oh Lord, you know. Lord, you know." Point number one, when we come out of a place of death, out of a place of a desperate situation, is to trust in the Lord. "God, you know. You know if these bones can live. You know if I can see another day. You know if this can be resurrected. You know, God." That we trust in the Lord. We find the will of God for the situation. Listen, there are some situations in your life. There are some bones in your life that sometimes need to die and stay dead. And sometimes we can hang on to those bones and we remember the bones and we think about the bones and how glorious it was, especially you older people, how glorious it was in the old days. It wasn't that glorious. You were just 20-something. You thought the world was beautiful. That's another sermon. Sometimes we need to understand that for us to move forward, we have to move past. For us to move beyond, we have to bury the old bones. That not every field of bones needs to be resurrected. And it's for us to understand and to seek the Lord. "Lord, you know if these bones should live or should not." Romans 8 and 18 says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Romans 13 and verse 11 says, and do this, knowing the time that now is, it's high time to wake out of the sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness and in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Lord, you know. Trust in God. Wait on God. And as Ezekiel waits on the Lord, the word of the Lord comes to him again. In verse 4, he says, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones. There is a time to wait and see, but then when the Lord says, go, we go. And we don't look back. We don't say, oh, I don't know if there's still life. I don't know if there's hope. When God says go, there's go. When God says there's hope, there's hope. It's our flesh that wants to hang on to the old. And he said, prophesy to these bones. And he says, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied. There is a time between the vision of seeing the dead bones and waiting upon the Lord to the place of the resurrection life of God to be released. But when he says, go, go, when he says, prophesy, prophesy, that's not the time to question. There is a time of questioning. Is this the will of God? But when God says this is it, then we go. We don't turn back. We don't look back. We believe in him. It's the word of the Lord. We stand upon the Lord, the word. My second point tonight is to speak. You see, there's a symbiotic relationship going on between the man and God. God puts the word in his heart, but then he speaks it. And there's times in your life when you're going to have to, and it's that place of faith, it's that place of stepping out, it's that place of looking at this same dry bones and now speaking life into them. Can these bones live? Yes. What are you going to do about it? And you begin to speak into your situation. God says, speak to that mountain and cast it into the sea. There is a level of faith and believing that we need to step into. And it's a stepping into, speaking into our situation, saying, God, your promise was that these bones will live. I will see beyond the situation. It seems so desperate. The vision hasn't changed. There's still bleached bones. There's still dead bones. Nothing has happened until he speaks the word of the Lord. Until he prophesies into that situation, God, you're saying go forward, so I'm going forward. I'm speaking into this situation. I'm speaking into this life. I'm speaking healing into this disease. I'm speaking into this thing, and I'm declaring the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is thus, and the word of the Lord is this, and I'm going to put sinew, and I'm going to put flesh on these bones. At that moment, speak resurrection life. Speak resurrection life into your situation. That's not the time to speak death. That's not a time to question. You have the word of the Lord behind you. Now you speak life in the name of Jesus. I speak the word of the Lord. Romans 8, 7 and verse 4 says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bear the fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law and were at work in our members. But now, we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. The newness of the Spirit, the word of the Lord, the resurrection power of God. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1, who do not walk according to the flesh. Remember, nothing has changed. Those bones are still dead. Your situation hasn't gotten any better, but now you have the word of the Lord behind you. And we speak the word of the Lord. Are you speaking scripture into your situation? Are you standing upon the word of the Lord? Are you speaking the word of God? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. Through his Spirit who dwells in you. It's a life in the Spirit. It's not a life in the flesh. Sometimes God gives you the vision for the valley of dry bones. We don't know if others were there. How many people walk through that valley of dry bones and says, oh, boy, that's a bad situation. I'm sure glad I'm not in that situation. But Ezekiel is brought in there to bring salvation. Hear me, bring salvation to that situation. And sometimes God's going to speak to you and he doesn't speak to your neighbor because he's put something within you, a vision, a calling to prophesy into that situation. Listen, tomorrow morning you're going to go into a valley of dry bones that don't know God, have no hope. And you're going to say, God, can it live? He says, yes, because I'm sending you. I'm giving you a word and giving you a vision. The third thing he does in verse 7, he says, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and a sudden clanging. The worship team can come. There was a sudden clanging. There was a sudden motion. There was a sudden change. All of a sudden, what had been perceived was changing because the word of the Lord was released. The obedience of the servant and the power of God converge, and all of a sudden the situation begins to change. And it's interesting to me, the first thing that was coming together were the bones, the structure, the order. In your situation, the first thing we do is bring things into order. Those things that were out of order, bring them into order. Bring them into the things of God. Allow God to begin to speak into that situation, to bring it back into order. God is not a God of chaos. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Bring your situation in order under God. Bring the bones together. Psalm 50 and verse 23 says, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. To him who orders his conduct aright. In other words, as I bring my situation under the purposes and the plans of God, and I bring to order the things that were disordered, all of a sudden there's a structure there that life can come, that life can be built on, that godly flesh, as it were, can be reassembled. That order came to the bones. And he goes on in verse 9, he says, prophesy to the breath. That this valley of dry bones, now coming under order, coming into a place of structure, flesh now coming upon it, but it still doesn't have the breath of God. Point number four is allow God. See, we can do all these things. We can speak the word of the Lord. We can see situations. We can bring order. But we have to finally allow God to breathe life. And that comes back to point number one. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to allow Him to breathe life. How do we breathe life into a situation? We pray. We seek the Lord. We speak in tongues. We prophesy. We believe God. We stand upon His word. And He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain. God, come into this situation. You're going to work tomorrow. Start praying, God, breathe into this situation. Breathe the life of God. Breathe hope into that situation. Breathe the breath of the Spirit. Allow God to intervene. John 12 says, most surely, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Let him follow me. And if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. As we come into the purposes of God, we come like the valley of dry bones. We come to a place of the end of ourselves. And through the processes of God, He can breathe life into us. And I want to encourage you, you can stand. We're going to close. But maybe tonight your situation is so desperate and you've been crying out, God, are you in this mess? God, are you here? Have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten my situation? Have you forgotten about me? And I want to encourage you tonight. Can these bones live? Can your bones live? Can your situation be resurrected? Trust in the Lord. And the end of the story says, he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They are the people of God. And they indeed say, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. Is your hope lost tonight? We ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord, church. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Listen, there needs to be a resurrection that comes from the house of God. For too long, we've been living mostly dead. We're living in graves waiting for something to happen. And God's saying, listen, prophesy into your situation. Breathe the life of God. Bring it into order. Open your graves, and I will cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. O my people, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will place you in your own land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I have performed it. Listen, God is raising a mighty army. And maybe tonight you don't feel like you're part of it. You feel, how can I be significant in my situation? And we're going to open the altar here and you can come. We're going to pray and prophesy over you. For the rest of you, you're free to leave. But I believe God is saying to His church that your situation is not too desperate for God. Your circumstance is not too desperate for God. Your dry bones, your dry bleached bones are not a place of hopelessness, but a place of the beginning where God can move and change and do triumphant things in you. And if that's you tonight, we want to open up these altars and feel free to come. Lord, I just pray for the house of God tonight, God, that, Lord, as you begin to breathe life, as you begin to breathe hope, as you begin to breathe new joy, God, that, Lord, as you allow flesh to come on, your spiritual flesh, your spiritual body, as we eat your body, as we drink your blood, it says in Scripture, that we become one with you, and that in Christ we are more than conquerors. And so, Lord, tonight we shed off our flesh. We come to that place of sacrifice and say, God, take us. Take us out of this situation, God, and create that mighty army, that army that is called to go through the nations and change this world and be glorious. And so, Lord, we pray for your church, that, Lord, that army would arise. Come out of the place of death and come into resurrection life, God. And Lord, we bless each person here tonight. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Feel free to come to the altar. But let's believe God for that resurrection power of the Lord. Amen.